Hello, America, and welcome to a new edition of John Solomon Reports, the podcast from Just the News, where, man, every couple hours, my head is spinning from all the news breaking out. We must be in an election because a lot of things are happening all at once. We're going to have a great show today. My good friend and one of the true champions and heroes of unraveling the Russia collusion case joins us today. Greg Jarrett, the great Fox News analyst, the great author of two best-selling books on the Russia hoax. He's going to be here to talk about all the big developments. We're going to break them down. Yeah, we've got a little revelations on new declassifications. We got the president giving a sweeping declassification order to get the rest of the information out. We've got new subpoenas going out. Greg's going to be here to break all that down and make sense of it, as he does so well every night on Fox News and, of course, in his amazing books and columns that I read so closely every day. But before we get to that and that great interview, we want to tell you about all the things that are happening around town. There's a big terrorism case that was filed today, historic, bringing justice to the families of several people whose children and loved ones were killed and beheaded by ISIS 6 years ago under President Obama. President Trump has brought two of the perps to justice today. Big announcement there. We're going to get to that in a few seconds. In addition, there was a subpoena issued overnight. That's right. Senator Ron Johnson, chairman of the Homeland Security Committee, dropped a subpoena for the other informant, not Christopher Steele, the one we're always talking about, but that mysterious professor that worked for the Pentagon, a guy named Stefan Halper. We're going to tell you about that. In addition, we want to talk about the importance of what the president did last night after the most recent declassification of intelligence showing that the CIA had concerns Hillary Clinton might have manufactured Russia collusion against Donald Trump to distract from her own problems, to vilify him and to distract from her own Russia and email problems. The president did something pretty dramatic. We're going to tell you what that is as well and what it could mean for the final 25, 26, 27 days of the election. But before we get to all that, which is a lot, let's go to a quick commercial break and hear from the great people, the great sponsors, the great advertisers who make this show possible every day. We'll be right back after these messages. Folks, we're sponsored today by Donors Trust, the tax-friendly way to preserve your charitable giving. In times of crisis, those with a giving spirit and a desire to build up civil society find ways to be helpful. And that's when it's good to have a charitable resource ready to deploy when they're needed most. Donors Trust offers donor-advised funds or giving accounts. You can use these funds as your own charitable investment account and manage your charitable giving in a way that's smart, tax-advantaged, aligned with your values, and private. Donors Trust clients are using their funds to support charities helping their local communities while also using their giving account to simultaneously support think tanks and liberty-minded organizations that believe our constitutional rights shouldn't get lost in a time of emergency. Now is the time to take a closer look at Donors Trust and join their community of liberty-minded donors by opening a donor advised fund. Go to donorstrust.org/justnews for the ultimate survival guide to charitable giving and learn how a donor advised fund can preserve your ability to give to the charities you love. That's donorstrust.org/justnews. All right, folks, welcome back from the commercial break. And oh my gosh, so many things to tell you about in so short a time. And don't forget the big thing we're waiting for, Greg Jarrett, the amazing Fox News analyst, the great author, one of the true heroes of unraveling the Russia collusion scandal. He joins us for an exclusive interview in just a few minutes. But before we do that, I want to tell you about some breaking news. If you go to justthenews.com, check out the top headlines. You're going to find all this in a nice, succinct way. But I'm going to tell you three developments that I think are very, very important, all in the last 24 hours, some of them in the last 12 hours. First, this morning, we broke it first here at justthenews.com. President Trump has ordered two ISIS militants. They were part of a group that was nicknamed the Beatles because they had British accents. These were some of the most heinous members of ISIS. They are the ones who captured Americans and Westerners, tortured them, and then killed them, and in many cases beheaded them. They're no longer walking free. They're no longer going to laugh at impunity. They're being brought to the United States. They have been indicted on charges related to the beheadings and killings of several Americans, including The former American aid worker, Kayla Mueller, whose parents have been so passionate in pleading for justice. Some of the others that these two thugs are tied to killing include two journalists and another American aid worker. All of them are so important. I want to mention their names so we never forget them. Kayla Mueller, of course, I just mentioned her. Another U.S. aid worker, Peter Kasich, and then the journalists, James Foley and Stephen Sotloff, all victims of this horrible ISIS cell that broke out when Barack Obama was in charge and ISIS was running rampant in Syria and in Iraq. It turns out the U.S. has had custody of these guys for a while. They got permission to extradite them. The British government agreed to allow their citizens to come here. And as a result, they were charged today in Alexandria, Virginia court. So right outside of the city of Washington in Virginia. Among the charges that these two thugs, and I'm going to name them so you don't ever forget their names, Alexander Cote and Elshifi Elsheikh. Elshifi Elsheikh, Alexander Cote. They're facing the following charges: hostage taking resulting in death, conspiracy to murder U.S. citizens outside the United States, conspiracy to provide material support to a foreign terrorist organization, and other related conspiracy charges. That's a big deal. It's a big win in the war on terrorism. But most importantly, it's so important to all those families of those victims, the Muellers and the Foleys and the Sotloffs and the Kasichs. All of them suffered for many years not knowing whether justice would be brought. Today, a major strike, a major blow against these ISIS thugs. They've been brought to the United States. They're facing charges. They're going to be convicted. If they are convicted, they're going to face life in prison, never again to terrorize or horrify the world with their heinous crimes that we saw play out 6 years ago. It was actually 6 years ago that those beheadings began. I know we all remember them and how shocked we were. Chris Wray was at the FBI director was at the news conference today, and I know some people get frustrated about his role in the Russiagate, but on this case, the FBI did a great job. And I want to just read a couple of words of what he said, because I think it brought a personal element to an otherwise legal proceeding. He said, "The families of the victims have suffered the painful loss of their loved ones at the hands of brutal killers. While their pain may never subside, today, with the announcement of this indictment, we're beginning to bring them the justice they deserve. But we owe these families more than justice," he said. "We also owe them our gratitude. Their advocacy for their loved ones has led to positive changes in how our government supports and partners with victims' families." One of the things that the FBI doesn't get a lot of credit for, I know there's a lot of frustration about what went on with Russia under James Comey and Andy McCabe and Peter Strzok and Lisa Page and Bill Priestap. I get that. But the FBI also does amazing work every day. And in this case, and in many of the hostage release cases, the FBI has been the lead agency for a very long time trying to get answers. They work very uniquely with the families of the victims. Some who don't have bodies don't know for sure. They believe their daughter or son was killed, but they don't even have the closure of a body and a funeral to be sure. And the FBI works through these extraordinarily painful circumstances, and they do a great job, and they extract information that often can help the FBI either bring the killers to justice, or in the happier moments, sometimes, as President Trump has shown very effectively, we bring some of these hostages home before they're killed. That is good for America. And bravo to the FBI and to men and women there who work this case, work the hostage division every day. They're bringing invaluable, valuable work. They're bringing closure to pained families. And in some cases, they're bringing safety to those who were wrongly captured overseas. Great story. A reason to be excited today. There was real news. And those thuggish killers that we saw on TV flaunting their ISIS propaganda, killing innocent Americans, beheading them, they're not only no longer free, they're coming to the United States to face the ultimate justice here. Big development in the news today. Just broke a little while ago. In fact, Just the News was the first to get this story out this morning. Big, big stuff. So good stuff there. Hey, we got a debate tonight. No, not Donald Trump and Joe Biden. That's a week off yet. But Mike Pence and Kamala Harris, they square off tonight, vice presidential debate. You can watch it live on justthenews.com or, of course, on all of the network television stations that'll be carrying it tonight. But I just want to mention that. Can't forget about that. Another big development last night. President Trump orders the declassification of all Russia and Clinton email scandals. He announced this in a tweet about 10 o'clock last night. And he was unequivocal. No more foot dragging. No more redactions. No more hiding. No more obfuscating. He said, I have fully authorized a total declassification of any and all documents pertaining to the single greatest political crime in American history, the Russia hoax. Likewise, the Hillary Clinton email scandal. No redactions. That's what he tweeted in the first round. And then he poked in the ribs all of those bureaucrats who have been slow to release this information because he originally ordered this information released. In fact, shortly after I met and interviewed him in May of 2019, a lot of things didn't happen after the president made that order. And he made clear today he's unhappy about the foot dragging. Here's what he said. All Russia hoax scandal information was declassified by me long ago. Unfortunately for our country, people have acted very slowly, especially since it is perhaps the biggest political crime in the history of our country. So he poked those ribs. I'm Gina Haspel, the CIA director, Chris Wray, the FBI director, who, by the way, deserves credit in the other case. I'd be feeling a little nervous about what the president thinks about their effort. They better get on the schneid. Let's get these documents declassified so that people in a real America can figure out what happened in the 2016 election before we finally cast our vote in the 2020 election. Important development last night. Of course, we're going to talk with Greg about the declassification yesterday. We talked about that on the podcast. You know all about it, so we won't go over that again today. But we're going to get Greg's perspective on that. We also had the amazing Devin Nunes on yesterday. He had a lot of very valuable things to say about the nature of this case. And so let's keep an eye on that and all of these declassifications. I suspect more are coming before Election Day, many others after as well. That'll be unfortunate, the ones that come after the Election Day, but progress on that front. Finally, we're going to get to Greg Jarrett here in a second. I don't want to keep talking, but just for a few seconds. Last night, the Senate Homeland Security Committee, chaired by Ron Johnson of Wisconsin, a Republican senator, issued a subpoena for Stephon Halper. He's what I call the other informant in the Russia case. The one we're most famously acquainted with is Christopher Steele, the British MI6 former spy who wrote the dossier while being paid by Hillary Clinton's campaign and her law firm to smear Donald Trump with what turned out to be Russian disinformation and false and unverified information. But Stephon Halper played a big role too. He went undercover for the FBI. He intercepted his conversations with people like George Papadopoulos and Carter Page. And those transcripts show that those men were insisting on their innocence, knocking down what the FBI had. Halper's interactions with those witnesses become very important because that was the exculpatory evidence of innocence that that FBI under James Comey, Andy McKay, Peter Strzok kept secret from the court. And I'm sure we're going to talk about that with Greg Jarrett. He has long said that the withholding of that exculpatory information, the falsification of some evidence, the claim that they were giving verified evidence that was actually unverified, in some cases invalidated evidence, could lead to criminal charges. We're going to ask Greg, who's a lawyer, to help us handicap those charges. But subpoena for Stephon Halper. Let's see if he shows up, provides documents, if anything can happen before the election day. We're running out of time, but another development that I thought you'd find most important. All right, we're going to go to that quick commercial break. When we come back, Greg Jarrett, my good friend, here to talk all things Russia. I think we'll even slip in a question or two about, well, why not? Bidengate, we should. All right, but first, let's hear from our great sponsors and advertisers. Folks, if you owe back taxes, fair warning, you're not going to like this. The IRS is mailing millions of pay-up letters. Millions, I say. Then it's up to the 20,000 new IRS enforcement agents to find you. Why the IRS targets you and not millionaires? Well, because millionaires have tax lawyers. You don't. You'll pay up. Plus interest and penalties. You need Tax Network USA, and you need them now. Tax Network USA has brilliant war room strategies to solve your IRS problems quickly and in your favor. Like a preferred direct line to the IRS, they know which agents to deal with and who to avoid. It's not all bad news for you because Tax Network USA learned of a special limited time IRS offer. They're willing to waive $1 billion in penalties if you qualify. So schedule your free confidential consultation to see if you qualify for this limited time IRS penalty canceling offer. To do so, call 1-800-245-6000. That's 1-800-245-6000 or visit TNUSA.com/justnews. That's TNUSA.com/justnews. All right, folks, welcome back from the commercial break. And as promised, a very special guest, a man who needs very little introduction on this show because of his great work, Greg Jarrett, the Fox News legal analyst and also the author of two best-selling books. I've read them both, sometimes multiple times. The book Witch Hunt, the book The Russia Hoax, are must-reads for anyone who wants to learn how our government pulled off this incredible hoax that was the Russia collusion investigation. Greg, welcome to the show.
Hey, John, always great talking to you.
It's an honor to have you on. And what a day to have you on after all of the dizzying news of the last 24 hours. Let me start off with the big question. What did you think about yesterday's release of the underlying documents showing what happened in the summer of 16 when the CIA first learned that Hillary Clinton might have hatched a plot to pin the Russia collusion story on Donald Trump?
Well, it proves what you and I both have long suspected, that Hillary Clinton was behind it all, that she invented out of thin air the narrative that Trump was a Russian asset colluding with the Kremlin.
Right.
And, you know, as I was writing the second book in particular, it kept gnawing at me. So who created this whole thing, this fabrication? That really debilitated the Trump presidency and led to a national nightmare for the American public. And I suspected, as I'm pretty sure you did, that it was Hillary Clinton all
along. Yeah, absolutely.
And so what I did was I began to do a deep dive into Clinton. I went through all of her speeches, and I realized that early in 2016, she was peppering her campaign speeches with these ridiculous accusations,
right,
that Trump was a Kremlin asset and a puppet of Putin, and her acolytes escalated it, and her own website made even more absurd claims. And, you know, it seemed like it was all drawn from the depths of Clinton's fictive imagination. It was
right.
Devious. It was classic Clinton, and in fact, the Brennan declassified documents in his own handwriting prove that that's what happened.
Yeah, it's absolutely amazing, and it's so frustrating because if you watch some of the mainstream, in fact, most of the mainstream media, those who didn't report it, or many, those who did report it kept calling it Russian disinformation, and it's anything but. We know the DNI himself has said the CIA never classified this intelligence that they had as Russian disinformation, yet the media uses that term anyways. In my book, Fallout, we actually interviewed Hillary Clinton's campaign officials who acknowledged that they set out to create the Russian narrative after doing a poll. And this poll was in late summer of 2015, so it fits right before she starts her speeches that you so carefully documented in your book. And it found out that her own dealings in Russia, particularly Bill Clinton's $500,000 check and all the money that got collected off of the Uranium One deal at the Clinton Foundation, and the email scandal were the two biggest things sitting in her way, making voters unlikely to vote for her for president. And all of a sudden, they started their research, they said, to try to find dirt on Republicans in Russia to neutralize the issue. So there's no disinformation. The Clinton campaigns acknowledge this in interviews with us. We put the poll out. You show the speeches. We know what Christopher Steele did. We know all the other people that were peppering the FBI with Russia delusion information that all come from the Clinton camp, whether it's Cody Scherer and his sidekick, Sidney Blumenthal, or David Korn. How do we hold the media accountable for all of this false reporting? They keep trying to call something disinformation, but is ultimately irrefutably proven now.
You know, the media will never admit that they were complicit and willing accessories to the Russia hoax. They drove the narrative. In fact, the New York Times and the Washington Post received Pulitzer Prizes
it's amazing.
For getting the story wrong. So they will never apologize or retract or admit their own wrongdoing. They will simply move on, to the next hoax.
Yeah.
And because that's what they do. They're devoid of principle and conscience. They are unscrupulous. But I do think that people like you, and I would include myself,
sure,
Kennedy, and a handful of others. I mean, I think it's really incumbent upon us to keep at it, to keep disclosing the truth, because, you know, the truth always has its enemies, as I wrote in my book, and this is a prime example of how nefarious people who abuse their positions of power have, once caught, tried to cover up their wrongdoing. And it needs to be exposed. I hope Durham holds people accountable, but I really think it's up to people like you and myself and others to unravel the truth that has been so carefully and sedulously hidden from the American public.
It is. And one of the great things about the era we live in, even with all of the advantages that the traditional media has, is we have ways to go around them and to report facts and put up information and get it to the American people by, you know, in the millions of numbers every day. You know, with Fox News, your incredible blog, the new site we've created. Do you see the advent? I mean, I guess Fox was really the advent of it, but of an ecosystem of additional journalism organizations working together to provide the side of news that the current mainstream media are ignoring. Do you see that growing? Is that one of the solutions here? Just continue to grow an infrastructure like the left has built?
I hope it grows, John, because it's desperately needed. I devoted an entire chapter in my last book to the media and, you know, how they drove the Russia hoax through both.
It's my favorite chapter, in fact.
Thank you. Yeah, it was called The Media Witch Hunt.
Yep.
And they were so reckless. They were so negligent. In the age of Trump, media malpractice on steroids is sadly endemic, especially in Washington. And it's driven in part by, you know, the unabashed hatred and scorn that the media has for Donald Trump, for his policies, and frankly, for any conservatives. And so, the people who are really digging out the facts, telling the truth, and doing so, I think, fairly and objectively, is a small minority. The mainstream media has for years grown in its liberal size and influence. And, you know, that's what a lot of people hear. You mentioned the echo chamber. That's what they live in. The one member of the media tweets it out and everybody echoes it, you know, with their own retweets. And, you know, it's this self-perpetuating cycle of misinformation and disinformation by the media. And, of course, these latest revelations are being largely ignored.
It's unreal.
Information by the mainstream media because they have no answer to it, because they were so intimately involved themselves. So they live in this Alice in Wonderland, you know, head in the sand, down the rabbit hole kind of existence, where they just pretend and hope that, you know, people don't notice that, you know, they're overlooking and ignoring it. And it's tragic, really.
Yeah, it really deserves the American public, because our founding fathers truly believe that a free press was key to democracy, key to our constitutional republic. And yet you see today an extraordinary effort at deceiving the democracy, deceiving the constitutional republic. And I was talking to Newt Gingrich recently. He had this really fascinating thing that you take the media, the Democratic Party, and the permanent bureaucracy of federal government, and together they've been working together over the last 4 or 5 years in a way that basically creates one-party rule, banana republic rule. And I when he first said it, it sort of stunned me, and I've been, you know, walking through and thinking through that. There really is this alliance that's been growing, and we see it in the way these most recent stories are covered. Is there any way to break that alliance? What's the panacea here?
Truth.
Truth.
You know, truth that reaches as many people as possible is the only solution. I'm not sure it's a panacea. There may be none. But I'll give you an example. I mean, you know, this latest information, the declassified handwritten notes of John Brennan.
Right.
It is so insidious that so much of this was hidden by Barack Obama. He could have blown the whistle on the CIA, the FBI.
He knew in July of 16.
Yeah. You know, and the information that the intelligence community had gathered was so credible and so persuasive that John Brennan literally rushed over to the White House to debrief President Barack Obama. And so what did they do? They all remained silent about it. Now, Brennan covered his butt by sending an investigative referral on Clinton to
right.
James Comey and Peter Strzok, knowing full well that those two guys, more than anyone else, would bury it. And that's precisely what they did. And, of course, last week when Comey testified before the Senate Judiciary Committee, my goodness, he was confronted with this evidence of the referral by the CIA to investigate Clinton, and he feigned total amnesia.
He sure did.
Oh, you know, he said, gee, it doesn't ring a bell, which was utterly preposterous.
Yeah. You don't forget something this important. The CIA doesn't send these sort of referrals very often, according to the U.S. intelligence officials I interviewed, so it'd be hard to imagine it had been forgotten.
Yeah. I mean, no possible way.
Yeah.
So, you know, and it's not just Barack Obama, but my goodness, what about John Brennan? I mean, after he leaves the CIA, he joins MSNBC as a paid commentator and spends the next 3 years driving the false narrative that Trump is a Russian asset.
Yeah.
And now, of course, he claims, well, I only, you know, briefed the president because I wanted to show him what great intelligence we had. I mean, that's just stupid. And then he also said, and by the way, Hillary Clinton didn't do anything wrong or illegal. He doesn't know that. He's not a lawyer. He's not familiar with the federal codes. And the fact that he sent a referral to the FBI indicates that he well knew that potential crimes may have taken place.
That's the key thing here. This wasn't an intelligence referral. This was an investigative referral. And that means somebody in the CIA had concern that what they were seeing in real time. And, you know, the CIA doesn't take a single piece of intelligence like this in a vacuum and don't do anything else. They go and start to check it out and see, are what we intercepted the Russians saying true? Do they have something here? And they flesh it out. And they would do that before they ever briefed the president. And they would do that before they ever sent an investigative referral. So they had a reason to send this over. They could have very well said, listen, we got this, but this is Russian disinformation. Ignore it. They didn't. They did the opposite. And that's because after the intercept, they see all this activity, right? They see Christopher Steele walk into the FBI. They see a known Russian spy who becomes subsource one or a suspected Russian spy who becomes subsource one for Steele talking to Steele. And they start to see the Russians feeding disinformation to Steele and Steele walking it in to the FBI. Now, you mentioned Brennan isn't a lawyer, but you are. So we have a great advantage here today. When you look at this, what sort of legal issues does the revelation that the FBI had reason to suspect this was a dirty trick from the beginning and then they carried it out anyways, what sort of legal issues and who's in the most harm's way when you look at this new revelation?
Well, let me put it this way, and I'll give you an example. If you deliver a false statement, file a false police report, or answer questions knowingly false to a police officer, you are invariably charged with lying to police, making a false statement to police. The same thing applies under the federal statutes. It is a felony to give knowingly false information to a federal law enforcement agency such as the FBI and the Department of Justice. So if Hillary Clinton and her confederates concoct a lie and feed it to the FBI and the Department of Justice, remember,
right.
Bruce Orr at the DOJ.
They're in together.
That you know, that is arguably a couple of felony crimes. It could be 18 U.S.C. 1001, making a false statement. But it could also be conspiracy to defraud the federal government, you know, trying to exploit and manipulate a law enforcement agency or two of them to perpetuate and propagate a lie. Now, you know, those are just a couple of the possible potential crimes that someone like Durham could be looking at. It's unclear to me whether Durham is actually focusing on the Brennan declassified memo. It might be something in his wheelhouse, you know, but obviously you and I both know he's looking at a variety of other things. So, we have to wait and see. A lot of it depends on who and how the information was being delivered or disseminated to federal law enforcement agencies.
Yeah, that's really a key thing. And people get frustrated sometimes, and I'm sure I'm among them, when they realize how slow this investigation has been. But Durham, I've seen very strong evidence that there's a really active investigation, that Barr and Durham really are trying to get to the bottom of things. But all the fine print often will determine what charges you bring across. And when you have wily witnesses like a John Brennan or a Peter Strzok, it seems like it takes a lot longer to lock down the evidence because of all the bobbing and weaving that these crafty former law enforcement officials can do. As you look out now, what do you think happens? Do you think there'll be charges before the election, or do you think that boat has passed? And could there be something after the election? What's your expectation for the Durham probe?
Well, I tend to, as every day goes by, I tend to agree with something you said recently, that it, at this stage, it may be more likely that any action by Durham would take place after the election. I was optimistic it would happen before.
Sure.
But, you know, COVID and the pandemic and the lockdowns. And
no doubt that had an impact.
Really had a huge impact on their ability to interview witnesses, to gather some of the evidence. You know, like the rest of us, you know, they were restricted and handicapped by virtue of what occurred unexpectedly, the pandemic. So, you know, I think but for COVID-19, I think it would have happened before the election. But now it looks like at this stage it may be way too close to the election. And they're sensitive to the fact that it doesn't, you know, they don't want whatever they do to be dismissed as politically motivated to influence the election. So they may hold off until afterwards.
Yeah, I think that's the guidance I've been getting and talking to people around it. But I do get the sense there's been a very serious investigation and very hard questions being asked and very important evidence being gathered. Now, big thing happened last night. We get through the declassification. Everybody's talking about that. And then President Trump, about 9, 10 o'clock last night, tweets out, "I've ordered everything to be released. Ta-da, it's going to get all released." What do you think happens? And do you have some favorite remaining outstanding documents that you would like to see declassified, given all the great work and investigating you have done yourself?
Well, just for example, look at Brennan's declassified handwritten notes of his meeting.
Yeah, there's a big section missing, aren't there?
I mean, my goodness, talk about, you know, blackouts. You know, it's redacted nearly every page, and vital information, by the way. And, you know, the president is making clear he wants everything now declassified completely and redactions removed. But let's remember that he actually ordered this on May 23rd, 2019. So that's 18 months ago. Yes, and he, you know, he directed Attorney General William Barr to declassify all of these Russian investigation documents. The trouble is that, you know, all of the people in the deep state, and you've described them, especially in the intelligence apparatus,
right,
have been hiding it, concealing information. They've been fighting the declassification every step of the way with every conceivable procedure. And he really didn't have a an aggressive director of national intelligence until first Rick Grenell as acting DNI and now permanently, Senate confirmed, John Ratcliffe. And you know, Ratcliffe's the kind of guy who, you know, truly takes this seriously.
Yeah, no doubt.
And so, you know, he is working, I think, 24 hours a day, 7 days a week to get it done. And I, you know, I wrote in my, in the column I just posted literally minutes ago on FoxNews.com, you know, that when all of it is declassified, there will be a mountain of damning, incriminating evidence about just how devious and corrupt these government officials were in the Russia hoax. So, you know, frankly, I think we only know the tip of the iceberg. More to come.
Yeah, I think that's right. I just took a look at that column, and you've got it just right. I mean, I think we have the central nuggets of the story, but we don't have all the tactics and players who were involved. And there's so many questions. I saw yesterday Ron Johnson dropped a subpoena for Stefan Halper, one of the informants who engaged Papadopoulos and Carter Page. And there's just so much mystery surrounding what was he doing with the Pentagon think tank known as the Office of Net Assessment. How did he get back into the FBI after he had been terminated previously as an informant? Do you think that we'll get, how much do you think we'll get out before the election? How much do you think we'll get out after the election?
You know, I think the vast majority of the declassified information, which I think will be stunning, will take place after the election.
Yeah.
Yes, we're going to be getting some over the next 20, 25 days. I mean, I think Ratcliffe is committed to that. I know the president is. I think
right.
Bill Barr is as well. So we'll get some of it before the election. I think a lot more after the election. Because I mean, you're really talking about a lie that was so easily invented, but the truth so carefully hidden.
And, yeah, such an important
point.
There
are so many enemies of that truth that have been fighting it tooth and nail. They'll continue to do so. But I do have confidence in Ratcliffe. And in Durham, and especially in Bill Barr, to get to the bottom of it.
Last question, because I know you got to get rolling, but I wanted to ask you about the Hunter Biden scandal, which, you know, Fox News and you and I and others continue to report on. Do you think, despite the American media's sort of suppression of a lot of the facts, that people are beginning to understand the narrative? And what do you think is the most important part of the narrative for everyday voters to understand about what Hunter Biden was doing in his father's jet stream?
The most important is for people to read your article.
Thank you.
Because truly you are the leading voice of the facts and the evidence. And what I like about your work is that you always link the documents that
let people see it themselves.
Of your story, so people can read it for themselves. You know, it was such a blatant lie last week by former Vice President Joe Biden when he said, that's all been discredited.
Right, it's not true, he said.
By whom? It's in the Senate report. It's in the referenced Treasury Department documents, and nobody has discredited it.
No.
It is a fact that is based on you know, documented evidence that Hunter Biden received a $3.5 million wire transfer from Elena Batarina, who's an oligarch, and the money was allegedly dirty money. I mean,
right. That's what the U.S. government says in the legislation they passed. Yeah.
Yeah, and human trafficking and so on and so forth. So for Joe Biden to say, oh, it never happened, it's been discredited, was a brazen lie and deceit. And it was troubling to me that wasn't brought out the moment he said it in real time.
Because it was a missed opportunity, wasn't it?
Yeah. So, you know, but what Hunter Biden did is so stunning. I mean, he's a notorious grifter who has always leveraged his father's fame and position in government power for profit. And you know, it smacks of influence peddling and corruption. And again, you know, Joe Biden was a participant because he is essentially extorting the government of Ukraine, withholding $1 billion under threat, unless the prosecutor happens to be investigating Hunter Biden's company Burisma, is fired. And of course, when he is fired and the billion is released to Ukraine, the investigation at that stage, at least, was terminated. So, you know, the extortion, the bribery, succeeded by Joe Biden. And, you know, all of this needs to be thoroughly investigated and brought to the attention of the American public, because the mainstream media will never do it. They will continue to be advocates and protectors of Joe Biden.
It is remarkable. And, you know, the documents that came out last week where you see the State Department's using their intelligence tools to monitor Sean Hannity and Laura Ingraham and myself and others who were working on this story at the time, reminds you the advantages that the government has to try to get ahead of your reporting. You know, you're just trying to do honest reporting. You're making phone calls. You're using your social media to try to explain what's going on. And I was literally surprised to figure out there was an operation on the other side trying to get ahead of it. And when you look through the documents and you see what those career State Department officials, George Kent, wrote, why were we doing this monitoring? He gave four reasons. One of them was he wanted to get ahead of the story on George Soros and his relationship with the embassy. But one of the other ones was he saw the Burisma Ukraine Hunter Biden story as a quote unquote motherlode. That's his word, not mine. That could carry on to the 2020 election. When you think about that, Greg, when you see a State Department official saying the reason we need to monitor journalists is we can't let this story about Joe Biden that could affect his 2020 aspirations continue to grow, what does that say about the state of that bureaucracy?
It says they're corrupt and they're ruthless, they're unprincipled, and they don't give a damn about the law. I was relieved to see that they were monitoring you instead of me, but at the same time, I realized, well, that means they think you're a better reporter.
That's hard to argue that one. You are. Greg, your work is epic, and you know, I think people forget. I just want to say this because I don't get a chance to say it on air very often. You were so early to see the big picture. I mean, Sarah and I and others were. I think we were down at 2,000 feet trying to dig up, you know, things under the rocks. But you saw almost immediately the entire nature of the conspiracy and what was going on. And you look back at the first book, the Russia hoax, and it is, you know, everything's been verified and fleshed out factually, but you saw it for what it was in the beginning. And that's an amazing gift to the American people, because without your voice out there and your legal analysis early on, the rest of the media was, you know, going to bowl us over. And history will look back, I know, and the American people will look back that you made an enormous contribution in getting us to see the big picture of what Russia collusion was, which was, you know, an incredible scandal, maybe the biggest scandal of our lifetimes.
Yeah, I agree. I think it is the biggest scandal of our lifetime. And your comments about myself and my books are very kind. But you will notice, and our readers will notice, that your work is cited perhaps more than anybody
very
else
grateful
in the innumerable footnotes as well as the text of those books. So hats off to you, really.
Yeah, we're very grateful. I know there's a mutual admiration society, but the work is real, and I know how many hours you put in a day, because it's not easy to write a book and also be on television and writing columns and analyzing things. You were working 24/7, and for that, the American people are grateful, I know. Greg, we'll try to get you back on, maybe just after the election. But until then, thank you for all you do. And let's see how the next 26 days play out.
Okay. My pleasure, John. Thanks very much.
Thanks, Greg. All right, folks, we're going to come back in a few seconds and wrap things up. But first, we got to go to a quick commercial break. All right, folks, as we draw near to another critical election, it's not only about casting your vote, it's about elevating your voice, making your voice be heard. AMAC is more than just a senior discount organization. They unite like-minded patriots like you and I, committed to preserving our cherished values and actively opposing the leftist agenda that's sweeping across America. Just look at their recent victories. AMAC members helped to push forward an investigation into practices that inflate drug prices. They successfully defeated ranked choice voting in order to protect traditional voting methods, and they also helped block a federal takeover of elections. As AMAC's membership grows, Washington is listening. Every new member strengthens this movement. If you love America, visit AMAC, amac.us/justnews, to become a four-year member for just $30. That's a great discount. AMAC is not only better for America, it's better for you. Membership gives you access to the AMAC magazine, free Social Security and Medicare guidance, money-saving discounts, trusted news, sweepstakes, and so much more. It's a community, not a service. Take advantage of our election year sale. 4 years for just $30 at AMAC. By joining over 2 million Americans, they can't ignore your voice in Washington anymore. Join now at AMAC, amac.us/justnews. That's amac.us/justnews. All right, folks, that wraps up another edition of John Solomon Reports. How quickly the time goes when you have a great guest like Greg Jarrett. I could have spent all day talking to Greg. His books are masterpieces of investigative reporting and legal analysis. His work on Fox News every night is so important to the country. And I thought he really helped us understand the really big developments that just happened on our watch over the last 24 hours. I hope you enjoyed hearing from Greg. We'll be back tomorrow with another edition of John Solomon Reports at justthenews.com. We'll have to sort through the smoke at the OK Corral after the vice presidential debate tonight in Utah. Here's something to watch for. My sources tell me that Kayla Mueller's parents, that's the woman who was beheaded by that heinous ISIS guys that were brought to justice today, they may be at the debate tonight as guests of, you got it, Vice President Mike Pence. I wonder what message that will send. Their daughter was killed on Obama's watch. Their daughter's killer was brought to justice on President Trump's watch. Can't imagine that's an accident that optic is going to be there tonight. Keep an eye on that. My sources are telling me that could very well happen. And there could then be a memorial dedicated to the Mueller family tomorrow in Arizona. Let's keep an eye on that as well. Finally, some closure and justice for these incredibly brave families who watched their loved ones die at the hand of ISIS. And for a long time, certainly under the Obama administration, had little action. Now, under President Trump, they're in custody. They're in the United States. They're indicted. They're going to prison. All right, folks, that wraps it up from John Solomon Reports. Have a great day. Be sure to check out justthenews.com all the time. We got breaking news whenever you look. And we'll be back at this tomorrow with another edition of John Solomon Reports. So long. You know what, folks? Stress may be why you can't lose weight. If you've got moderate to high stress like I do, a doctor-formulated weight loss supplement called Lean could be your solution. Chronic stress wreaks havoc on blood sugar, which can cause your body to store excess fat. Stress can also slow your metabolism, which fuels weight gain, and you know all about stress eating and sugar cravings, right? Now the good news. The studied ingredients in Lean have been shown to help maintain healthy blood sugar levels, help optimize metabolism, and keep your appetite under control. Now, if your life is a bit stressful like mine and you want to lose weight, add Lean to your healthy diet and exercise lifestyle. Now get 15% off and free shipping at takelean.com. That's takelean.com and enter the promo code JustNews15. That's the promo code JustNews15 at takelean.com. One more time, takelean.com. Statements have not been evaluated by the Food and Drug Administration. This product is not intended to diagnose, treat, cure, or prevent any disease, and it's not a substitute or alternative for care from a healthcare provider. Folks, everyone knows the next medical crisis is just around the corner. Whether it comes in the form of a pandemic or something much more mundane like a tick bite, you and your family need to be prepared. That's what we learned from this last pandemic, right? That's where the Wellness Company comes in. You know the Wellness Company. We have their great doctors like Dr. Peter McCullough on all the time on our shows. The Wellness Company and their doctors are medical professionals that you can trust. And the new medical emergency kits are the gold standard when it comes to keeping you safe and healthy, and most importantly, prepared. Be ready for anything. This medical emergency kit contains an assortment of life-saving medications, including ivermectin and Z-Pak. The medical emergency kit provides a guidebook to aid in the safe use of all of these life-saving medications, so you know what you're doing. From anthrax to tick bites to COVID and even the bioweapon like the plague, the wellness company's medical emergency kit is exactly what you need to have on hand to be prepared. Rest assured knowing that you have emergency antibiotics, antivirals, and antiparasitics on hand to keep you and your family safe from whatever the globalists throw your way. Go to www.twchealth.com/justnews today in order. That's twc.health/justnews and use the promo code justnews to save 10%.